against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with this breastplate of the righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I'll fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare in fearlessly as I should. Amen.
Thank you, Dee. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We praise you for the word that the Holy Spirit has inspired to be written and preserved for us. And we praise you for the role of the Spirit in helping us to understand what he inspired. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and show us what we need to know from your words, that we might live for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got three items to help us along our journey today. Three items are here. So I've got a lanyard. Yeah, thank you. A lanyard. I've got this. Does anyone know what this is? A toothbrush charger. Yeah, a charger for an electric toothbrush. And I've also got a lamp here on the desk. And these three items are going to help us to know how to pray in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. That's the command in our verse for the year. We might need to reload that PowerPoint because it's gone a bit crazy. But if you take a look at chapter 6 and verse 18, you'll see that we are told there to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean, to pray in the Spirit? Well, to know how to pray in the Spirit, we need to understand the role of God the Holy Spirit when it comes to prayer. And these three items are going to help to illustrate that, starting with the lanyard, okay? So the lanyard is the first thing. And what we see, first of all, is that the Spirit enables our prayer. The Spirit enables our prayer. A lanyard gives you access. So this is actually Mark's lanyard from one of his offices in London. Maybe you have something similar if you work in an office where you have to have, if you want to get in, you have to have a lanyard on you. Maybe you show it to someone, or you sort of tap it on something and it buzzes you in. The lanyard is the thing that gets you in. Well, check out the role of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 and verse 18. So flick back to chapter 2, verse 18. Paul has just been talking about what Jesus has done through his death on the cross for both Jews and for non-Jews. And then he says, chapter 2, verse 18, "For through him, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." So our access to the Father is through Jesus. But how do we actually step in? How do we take hold of that? It's by the Spirit. Through his death on the cross, Jesus has opened up the way for us to come to God. Because Jesus died in the place of sinners, taking on their sin, there is now nothing that has to separate us from God anymore. We have all sinned. We all actually deserve to be far away from God, separated from him, not just by a door, not just by a curtain, but by eternity, separated him from him forever in hell. That's what we deserve. And yet if we trust in the Lord Jesus, if we ask him for the forgiveness of our sins, have you done that? Have you trusted in Jesus and asked him to forgive you? If you do, if you have, he removes them as far as the east is from the west. And not only does he remove our sin, he also clothes us in his righteousness so that now we have just the right clothes in order to come into the presence of the King. So it was Jesus' death on the cross that made the way for us to have access to God. Remember how when Jesus died, that temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The great barrier that once separated a holy God from unholy people has been removed. That big door that said, warning, no entry, it now stands wide open. Jesus has opened up the way into the most holy place. The door is open, and the one who enables us to actually step on through is the Holy Spirit. We come through Jesus, yes, but by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who takes us across the threshold. He is the one who takes it from being a possibility to a personal reality. The Spirit is the one who takes that access and makes it mine. How? Well, it was the Spirit's work in my heart to give me faith in Jesus. It was the Spirit who opened up my eyes to enable me to believe in what Jesus has done, and by believing to take hold of everything that he offers. It is the Holy Spirit who grants us faith in Jesus. And now, chapter 3, verse 12, in him, in Jesus, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So do you see how it's the Spirit who enables our prayer, because it's the Spirit who gives us access. Just like that lanyard grants you access, the lanyard is the means by which you actually step on through, you actually go through the door. That's kind of like the role of the Spirit. Access to God our Father is won for us by Jesus the Son, and it is applied to us by God the Holy Spirit. If you like, it's the Holy Spirit who gives that access personally to us, who takes us in with him. So without the work of the Spirit, it would all be theoretical. It takes the Spirit to move us to receive this blessing through faith. And so it's because of the Spirit that we now enjoy confident access to God as a child to our Father. In fact, we read elsewhere in the Bible that it's by the Holy Spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father. We might be able to see in theory that prayer is possible, but the thing that makes it an experienced reality for us is the work of the Spirit. That baby's instinct that we have to call out to our Father is the work of the Spirit. Any confidence that you have that you are one of God's children is the work of the Holy Spirit. Any prompting that you have to even want to pray is the work of the Holy Spirit. I think we probably normally think that it's up to us to initiate prayer. It's up to us to start the conversation. But actually, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us into the presence of God. When we see a stunning sunrise and we have an urge to praise God, that's the work of the Spirit. Or when we come across a difficult situation and we think, oh, I really should pray about that, that's the Spirit's prompting. In those everyday circumstances, it's the Spirit who, as it were, brings us into the presence of God. In fact, it is impossible to pray without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables our prayer. The only way we're able to enjoy any relationship with God is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who created that relationship. He is the one who sustains that relationship. So to pray in the Spirit means to pray in the light of the Spirit's work. We pray in the relationship with God that the Spirit has brought about through his regenerating work in us. The fact that we can come to God in the first place is the Spirit's work. The fact that we are even able to pray is the Spirit's work. The fact that we ever do pray is the Spirit's work. The Spirit enables our prayer. But not only does the Spirit give us that access, he also gives us power for prayer. So secondly, the Spirit is the one who empowers our prayer. Do you remember when Jesus was talking with the Samaritan woman at the well? Do you remember that? He was talking with her there at the well. She gave him physical water. He gave her spiritual water. And they spoke about worship. Where is the right place to worship? Where? Is it on this mountain? Is it in Jerusalem? And Jesus explains how in his kingdom, true worshippers worship. Do you remember what he says? Where do they worship? In the Spirit and in truth. So in Jesus' kingdom, our relationship with God plays out not in any special physical place, but in a spiritual location. It doesn't matter so much where we're located physically, but where we are located spiritually, in the Spirit. Our relationship with God plays out in the spiritual dimension. And this helps us understand what it means to pray in the Spirit. The fact that we are specifically told prayer is something to be done in the Spirit shows us that prayer is not simply a physical action or a mental discipline. It is a spiritual activity. Prayer is something that takes place in the spiritual realm. It is a spiritual weapon, and it's part of that spiritual struggle that we heard about last week. And as we saw last week, our strength for the struggle comes from the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 10. Remember this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And like we saw last week, this power isn't just an impersonal force like a lightning bolt. Chapter 3, verse 16 shows us that this power comes through his Spirit. So are you following me here? Power for the spiritual struggle comes by the Spirit. Prayer is part of the spiritual struggle. And therefore, power for prayer comes by the Spirit. Part of the way that God strengthens us spiritually is that he helps us to pray. The Spirit empowers our prayer, which is why I've got this toothbrush charger. I found it funny this week to watch my wife, Riss, desperately trying to finish brushing her teeth while her toothbrush battery was running down and running flat. It had the red light flashing, and she was trying to finish quickly while it was going. Does your prayer life feel like that? Could it be that we rely more on our own resolve and our own desires, our own discipline, our lists, our set prayers, more than we're relying on the power of the Spirit? Those things aren't wrong. They can be important. They can be really helpful. But we're told that prayer is a wrestle. And if we are relying on our own strength for the struggle, no wonder we run out of steam. Like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus was betrayed. While Jesus wrestled in prayer, they kept falling asleep because the flesh is weak. When you pray, do you ever find yourself strangely tired, easily distracted? When it's time to go to the prayer meeting, there always seems to be a good reason not to go. And even if there's not a good reason, do you ever get that weird inner discouragement where you're just like, I just really, really don't want to go? We are in a spiritual battle. We have a superhuman enemy. We need superhuman power to be able to pray. Maybe one of the reasons we find prayer so hard is because we're basically trying to do it ourselves. What did Rhys's toothbrush need? It needed power. That toothbrush cannot spin itself round in its own strength. It needs power. And the Holy Spirit is the person who brings power for prayer. I used to go to a camp for teenagers and young adults every year. And every year we did the same activities on the same days. Every year we did the same thing. And one of the days that sticks out in my mind was, one of the activities on that day was a tug of war. But the tug of war came with a difference, because for some reason the leaders thought it would be a good idea to do the tug of war over a river. And not just over a river, but over a river where there were like high, steep banks on both sides. And the teams would line up on both sides, right to the edge, and sort of try and pull each other in. There were forests of stinging nettles on the way down, and it led to some quite nasty incidents, as you can imagine. But it certainly gave you motivation for the tug of war. And one of the campers who used to come year by year was actually a bodybuilder. In fact, he was Mr. Cornwall. Or used to be Mr. Cornwall. And he would spend the whole week showing off his muscles and all of these kind of feats of amazing strength. And you can bet your bottom dollar that when it came to tug of war day, you wanted Mr. Cornwall on your team. He was the one at the back who would make sure that your team won. Prayer is a wrestle, but with the Holy Spirit, it's like having the world's strongest man on your team. He is the one who prompts us to pray. He is the one who strengthens us to pray. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in the strength that he provides. To pray in the Spirit is to pray dependent on his power, knowing that, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Isn't that good? We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? When we are so physically, mentally, or spiritually weak that we don't even know what to pray, when all we can do is groan, the Holy Spirit prays for us. He takes our groans and brings them in line with the will of God. Which leads us to the third thing, the third way in which the Spirit helps our prayer. The Spirit enlightens our prayer. So you saw there in Romans 8, right at the end there, that the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. And he also helps us to know the will of God so that we know what to pray for too. Hence the lamp. So let's switch on the lamp. That was brighter than expected. I'll now try and see what I've written in my notes. The Spirit is the one who enlightens us to show us what to pray. The Spirit is often described as the one who brings light and understanding, including here in Ephesians. So flip back to chapter 1, verse 17, where we see the Holy Spirit. Well, let's read it. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation who opens our eyes so that we can know God. And not just who God is, but also what God has done. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and so on. Earlier on, we talked about how the Spirit creates faith in us, and this is how he does it, by lighting things up, by opening our eyes to see God and to see the good news. It is by the Holy Spirit that, verse 8 of chapter 1, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will. God has turned the lights on, and given us an inside track into what he is doing through Jesus. We have privileged information about God's great plan of salvation, which encompasses all of creation. The Spirit's work is to bring light and understanding, and to do so more and more. And the more we know God and the more we know his good news, the more we'll know God's will for the world and for our own lives. So it's the Spirit who helps us to obey the command in chapter 5, verse 17. In chapter 5, verse 17, we're told, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The Bible is very clear that all prayer should be according to God's will. So in order to be able to pray, we need to know what God's will is, and the Spirit is the one who helps us. How does he do that? How does he bring light? He has a very special tool for the job. Chapter 6, verse 17, the verse before our verse for the year, where we read about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When we read God's word, the Holy Spirit is the one who lifts the shutters, who shines a light onto the page so that we can understand clearly. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see God, to see the good news, and to see God's great purposes. This is where we discover the will of God for us. This is where we discover what to pray. And so to pray in the Spirit means to pray in light of what the Spirit reveals. To pray in the Spirit means to pray in line with God's will as it's revealed in God's word. He is the one who sets the agenda. As opposed to the kind of praying that James talks about in James chapter 4, where he says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And I wonder how often our prayers are flipped around the other way. When we come to God, are we basically praying, "My will be done"? In essence, are we basically more concerned about getting what we want from God, rather than concerned about God doing his work in us and through us? If so, that is not praying in the Spirit, because to pray in the Spirit means praying in line with God's will as revealed in God's word. So how do we know what to pray for on any given day as we come to our Father? How do we know? Where do we start? How do we know what to pray for? We open up God's word and we ask for the Spirit's help to understand. We see how the truths of God's word speak into our circumstances, and we pray in the light of that. It's very easy to pray without reference to God's word. Very often, actually, we just sort of pray the stuff that's on our heart, the stuff that we want to pray for. And do you know what? Our Father absolutely loves to hear us pray. He loves to hear what's on our heart. He loves us to talk to him. Please don't stop just coming to him with everything on your heart, even if you've not got everything straight, okay? But if we're just praying what we want without reference to God's word, then we're ignoring the means by which God shows us what we should be praying for. Much better to start with an open Bible and say, "Lord, what do you want me to pray about this situation?" I found that really helpful, actually, in praying for people in church yesterday. To be listening to the Spirit, not just praying what I think this person needs prayer for, but to say, "Lord, what in your word is really helpful? How does your word apply to this person's circumstances?" It gives it a much more rich and God-centered way of praying. And that's something that we can grow in. Chapter 1, verse 17, when Paul prays for the Father to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, is so that they might know you better. Over time, as we get to know God better, our prayers become more and more in tune with God's will. The Spirit enlightens our prayer. So are you still with me? I'm hoping we're beginning to see something of what it looks like to pray in the Spirit. Maybe it's sort of a kind of a phrase, it's a bit like trying to pin jelly to the wall, isn't it? It's kind of hard to pin down exactly what that means. And maybe in our minds it was sort of a mystical sort of thing, and We're expecting some sort of something a bit crazy. I think this is what God's word says about what it means to pray in the Spirit. Of course, there's a sense in which all prayer from all believers is in the Spirit. This isn't some kind of supercharged prayer for the super holy. In chapter 1, verse 13, we're told that all believers receive the Spirit when they believe. And like we saw earlier, without the work of the Spirit, we cannot pray at all. But to those of us who have already received the Spirit, Paul urges them in chapter 5, verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit, increasingly under the influence of the Spirit. This is something that we can grow in, an ever-deepening communion with God the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is something that all believers do, but it's something that all believers can grow in more and more, an increasing awareness of his presence and his work as we come to pray. I'm not saying that our prayers are not real unless we're especially aware of the Spirit's presence. I wouldn't want us to go away thinking that it's not proper prayer unless we sort of work ourselves up into some sort of heightened spiritual state. But I think we are being invited into this today, into a closer communion with the Holy Spirit as we appreciate his role in prayer, as we actively enjoy the access that has been won for us by Jesus and applied to us by the Spirit, as we consciously depend on his power for the spiritual struggle, and as we look to him for wisdom to know how to pray. So I really hope this doesn't burden us, you know, with a sense of, if I'm not doing it this way, I'm not doing prayer properly, I've got to learn a whole new way of praying, and maybe I just won't bother. I hope it does the opposite. What a blessing to know that we're not in it alone, that we have the Spirit of the living God helping us, doing it for us, doing it with us. What a gracious God that we have, that our imperfect prayers are like music to his ears, a pleasing aroma of incense rising up to him. He loves hearing us pray, and he's given us the person of the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So as we close, here's a suggestion of how we might be able to increase in our appreciation and awareness of the Holy Spirit when it comes to prayer. So in your times with the Lord, you could use a prayer something like this. And I'll send this out on WhatsApp or on the email so that you can have this if you like. But there's nothing special about this prayer. But you could perhaps use something like this to grow in your appreciation of what the Holy Spirit does in prayer. So you could pray something like, Father, I come as your child through the cleansing blood of your Son. Holy Spirit, make that truth come alive to me and help me to pray like a child coming to a father. Spirit, empower me now to focus and to fight as I call on the name of the Most High. And Holy Spirit, show me what to pray in line with your will and in line with your word. Do you know, I think that will really help us to draw on his mighty strength for the struggle of prayer. Doesn't mean your times with the Lord will necessarily be really dramatic. I don't think that's what it means. I think this is what it begins to look like to pray in the Spirit. It's about appreciating the access that he brings. It's about depending on the power that he gives. And it's about asking for the light that he shines. So shall we ask for the Lord's help in that? Let's bow our heads, shall we, and let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we praise you that you have not left us alone to walk the path of life. We praise you that you've not left us alone to fight the spiritual battle. We praise you for sending your Spirit. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes to see the truth, for granting us faith to believe in Jesus. We praise you for enabling us to come into the presence of our Father. Thank you for prompting and empowering us to pray. And thank you for showing us what to pray. We long to pray in the Spirit, in communion with you as you help us in these ways. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.